y'all doing tonight? Good? Y'all doing all right, seems like. I am. Well, ain't y'all glad I'm just not like everybody? I am a little different. I'm glad I'm different. Let me see what I want to do here with all these papers. I don't think I know myself yet. Well, I've been working out up here at this store y'all got up here. This boss store up here. And I've been having a good time up there. Those weights are just as heavy up there as they are where I live. Yeah, being in another hemisphere don't make any difference on how much they weigh, I promise you that. But I tell you, it's been fun. I like it. I like to get up in the mornings and see God and work out and then go preach the gospel. That's what I do for a living. Y'all like my clothes? All these different clothes? People have brought them and hung them. Now, I'm honest. That's good. That's real good. You know, I have to tell you, that man that got healed, Brother Allen Wills, he and Brother Jan have become good friends of mine. I consider them friends. I hope they do me too. And I'm getting to know them more and more, especially on this trip, because I'm staying in their houses. And I'm getting to see how they live as well as us be there and pray and see how they see how we live. And that's good because they really are good people. And I'm happy about that. This guy here, it was real sad to me the first part of the year when we were setting up this, for me to come down here to Australia. It's not down to y'all, it is to me. Whatever, y'all, I guess y'all do call it down under, right? You know what y'all call it? Oh, good, it's not an offense. But he called me up to tell me he's having trouble with his heart. He started getting these real sharp pains and hurting. And then one thing led to another. Next thing I know, he's got this. He's done been down. I mean, he's down to where he don't recognize or know anybody. And boy, I tell you, I just put him on my prayer list. I pray for him every day. Every day. And then I found out he had another heart attack. Oh, boy, I can't pray for him more than every day, so I don't know what to do except to keep believing God for him to be healed. But the guy, I tell you, he's wild. The guy's wild. He really is. He's a good guy. I like him. I like wild people. I like people that are serious about God. And it's all right with God if I'm excited about Him. You know, I get around people all the time. They think they know God and they're nothing more than religious devils. And I don't like that very much, y'all. But I like Jesus. Because see, Brother Allen, when I got here, he said, man, you got to pray. He said, I got to have a touch. And I mean, the guy had a hold of me. It was almost like I was tangibly his healing in his hand. I'm serious. And all I had to do was get in him then. Because he had me in his hand. And he was telling me, I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be healed. And I was looking at him. And when I get around people that got to have to get a hold of me like that, I mean, they get a hold of me. I mean, strongly get a hold of me. And they tell me, I'm going to be healed. They're healed. As far as I'm concerned, they've got it already because their faith is already up. And that man told me that his heart was messed up 70%. You know, that's a lot. 70% blockage or whatever was wrong with that thing. I don't know all the details. I didn't ask him all of it. But I'll tell you, today he called me up. He just walked through the door from the doctor. He calls up to Brother Jan, and we just happen to be sitting there talking about Jesus. That's a good thing to do. And he says, oh, Brother Jan starts jumping up and down. Now, give me that phone, please. I want to hear this myself. And sure enough, the man tells me Jesus healed him. Y'all, that's awesome. That's awesome. And then he started telling me about some blinded eyes getting open in some services they're having and some lame walking. And it's good. And I started telling him, I told him about the cripple here getting healed and the backs being straightened out and some sinus problems and so on and so forth. And he was just, oh man, back and forth on the telephone. I guarantee you that telephone wire will stay hot for a long time because the Holy Ghost running through it. That's pretty nice. That's pretty nice. Okay. Now, I want you to turn with me to a place that hopefully y'all are beginning to recognize. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. Hopefully y'all are recognizing the verse by now. Because I'm going to talk about it every night. I'll in the morning at breakfast, I'll be talking about it tomorrow night. Sunday morning, Sunday night. As far as I'm concerned, I've got to talk about it the whole time I'm with you, so I'm not going to be embarrassed about it. I do know quite a bit of other scriptures, but this is the one I'm going to talk about. And also the one in John 14, that's the thing that stuck to me the other night. We're going to talk about it too again. Okay, you ready? Y'all got y'all's Bibles open up there? It says in verse 18, it says, this was so that by two unchangeable things, and here they are, his promise and his oath, in which it is impossible for God ever to prove false or to deceive us. I mean, when God can touch a pastor's heart and heal it, he's doing something. Because pastors sometimes are harder to get to than the other people are, because they know too much. And it's harder to talk it to them and to speak into their life, because they know too much. Elders are the same way. Deacons are the same way. They know too much. And a guy like me, that I don't act very theological. I don't act real religious. I just try to act Jesus. I just try to say Jesus is King. I don't try to be up here in some fancy garb and some stoic attitude. I try to tell you, Jesus is King, and he's not going to lie to you. Do you understand? Jesus is King, and he's not going to lie to you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Now, jump over with me to John chapter 14. Well, I'll tell you. Well, I got a... See, I haven't told y'all about a lot of things that's happened to me since I've seen you. And I don't think I'm going to get to you a whole lot of it. But that's all right. Maybe some other time. But the fire of God is falling in our work, like it has in other parts around the world. And it's an awesome thing what has happened to us. And I might share a little bit with you Sunday morning, probably, about that. But I want you to know what's happened to us. It's not unique. It's not God's touching people all over the world.
Amen.
But there is a part of it that is unique, and it's that I was not going to join in, but just because other people were joining in. I said to explain myself, the kind of fellow that I am. You know, I'm not going to join because I might like you. As a matter of fact, I probably will love you, and I might trust you a little bit. But just because you jump and run, I'm not going to jump and run. Understand that? I just can't. It's because I represent too many people. I don't know if you understand what that means, but our work is very large, and I'm part of another group of people from the United States also. That work is very large, hundreds of churches. And they're good people. They just love Jesus. So if I was to go into something that may fizzle out or may be a fad of man and not be the Holy Ghost, then what do I do with all these people that look at me and that I represent? How do I get them all off of it? Well, so I don't worry with every little new thing that you people come up with around the world. I don't worry with it. I just smile at you and say, hallelujah. I do. I don't just jump in because you jumped. And I don't expect you to jump because I do. I'll tell you what I expect. I expect you to jump when the Holy Ghost jumps. That's what I expect, and I would hope you would give me at least that courtesy also, to at least wait on the Holy Ghost. And I did, y'all. Several years went by, and our work was, hey, you know, I don't know what to tell you. The dead are raised, the blind see, the lame walk. And most people say, what else is there? Well, I apologize to you if your God's that small, but there's lots of things about God bigger than raising the dead. Okay? And I have now found that out. And I want you to understand, what I did is I went out in the woods, what I call the woods. You would call it the end of the universe. I don't think you would call it that because you wouldn't go with me. Because I've never seen you over there yet. So I'm pretty sure that's right. So you get in your truck and you travel for 4 or 5 hours, and then you get out of the truck and you hike for 2 or 3 hours, and then you go up in there and the Holy Ghost is already before you. Understand? You have this little pastor sitting there that can't even speak Spanish, The man is sitting there. He's never, ever bothered me. He's a good man. He doesn't go out of his way to be any kind of trouble. The man loves me to the death. I could tell him to do anything and he would do it. That's why I am super cautious what comes out of my mouth when I'm telling people about the gospel. And I know that to some people, it just sounds like I just up here and talk, but that's not true. I'm going to be very cautious what I say to you, because I know I'll have to live it in a minute. And as long as I'm talking about Jesus, I'll be fine. If I get into any other thing, I don't know whether it's going to take us or what it's going to do with us. But I know what Jesus is going to do. He's going to take care of us. The Holy Ghost will take care of us. I'm sitting listening to this pastor talk to me. He's talking to me. He's talking to me in Aztec and Nahuatl, and he's telling me that the Holy Ghost's fire is raining down in our work, and I didn't even know it was happening. Our work is so large, and there's so many churches, and there's so remote areas. When God decides to do something, it might be a few minutes before he tells me about it. And that's all right, because that's his church. It's his church. He's the one bled on the cross. He's the one they put in the tomb. He's the one that blew the doors off the grave. He's the one that walked out victorious and filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you understand? Not me. All I do is preach the gospel. He's the one that raises the dead. And when I found out about it, I really went to seeking for it. I really went to seeking God for the whole work, because I found out, you get this, there are no video cameras like you have in here. There's no televisions. There's no radios. There's no way for these people to find out about anything else that's going on in the world other than the Holy Ghost do it supernaturally. And so that's what I was looking for our work. And then God steps in and starts showering the Holy Ghost down. I mean, he would get up, open his Bible, read a couple of scriptures, the whole place would be knocked out. Well, I like that. But he was afraid because he had never heard me say anything about it. I really respect it. He come to me trying to figure out how to stop it. And the reason he wanted to stop it was because I had never said it was okay. See, that's a part of submission few of you people in here even remotely understand. Those people really esteem what I say, and so that's how come I can't say it unless I'm sure of it. It's got to be right, because they'll die for it if I say it out of my mouth. And so I told him, don't stop it, let it flow. And he just got this, he just started bouncing, and he got this smile on his face. He said, I was hoping you'd say that. He said, because I had nothing to do with it. So, if you, anybody in here is worried about the fire of heaven that's falling, I'm telling you, it's falling in places where nobody's talking about it. You understand? And it's got to do with the Holy Ghost and not the men. Men make mistakes. They misuse the call of God sometimes. They even misuse the anointing. And I truly apologize to you about that, but that doesn't make the whole thing wrong. Did you understand? Okay. Well, look here. I got to read this to you. Uh-oh. Yep, I am there too. Thank you, Jesus. John 14, because you see here, on this little piece of paper right here, in one of the conferences we had, there was only, you know, it was only probably 1,500 or so, maybe. I don't think it was 2,000 Indians there. Yeah, but there wasn't a whole lot of them there. And so we're sitting there, you know, and there was, I didn't know that they had brought this lady to church. They brought her, they hired a taxi, they got her out to the highway, and then hired a taxi to bring her to church, and they brought her in on a stretcher, and there was a log, where I was preaching, there was a log there, and I don't pay much attention to logs, but on the other side of the log, the lady was in the stretcher, and I didn't even know it. Had no idea. Remember that lady from Comica that we heard about that got healed of that disease? Remember that? You were out there with me? Yep, you was out there with me whenever they told me. And I didn't even know she got healed. Because the fire of God fell and knocked me out and I was gone. Well, I had nothing to do with this. This is strictly the Holy Ghost. This is strictly the name of Jesus. So I preached the gospel in Jesus' name. And I'm standing up there, and I mean the fire of heaven came in that place. And I went down. I was trying not to go down. I was hanging. There was a post there in the middle, and I was hanging onto it, but I just couldn't hold on. And it was gone. And while I was gone, the Holy Ghost hit this lady, and she stood up. The first time she'd been on her feet in 6 months. Did y'all hear me? 6 months, the lady's down, and she's skin and bones. And I was gone. I was over there sleeping, I guess. And this lady's up here getting healed, and she hadn't eaten any solid foods in 3 months. Just that. It was all liquid. It was all water and some what they call caldo. What is caldo, Miss Hogan? Soup. You know, just broth stuff. And so she had been taking some of that. Finally got to where she couldn't even take that. And that's why they had her at the thing, because she was going to die. She was going to die. The name of the disease? Cancer. It's a devil. It's a devil. All cancer is a devil. You hear that? I'm glad y'all agree with me. It wouldn't make any difference if you agree or not. I don't respect your opinion on that. But I don't. It's not I'm being rude. I'm not being rude to you. Steal, kill, and destroy, that's the devil. Life, that's God. Now see how simple my theologies are, and it's really clear and easy to understand, isn't it? Steal, kill, destroy, devil. Life, Jesus. Hey, I can live with that. And you know what? She walked. Look, first time in 6 months. I don't understand how come she didn't need therapy. I don't understand how come she could just get up off the cot and walk. I don't understand how that's possible. Only through the Holy Ghost. Only through the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And she walked straight. Look, the meeting's going on, and I mean things are happening all around us. There were people getting saved, people getting slain in the spirit, people laughing, people crying, people doing all kinds of stuff. Some people were bucking and jumping, some were running, some were other. Oh, I was out sleeping. People were doing all sorts of stuff. You know what she did? She walked to the kitchen. Walked straight to the kitchen, sit down, and listen, ate two bowls of beans. I mean, she hadn't eaten anything in 3 months. She sits right down, her husband's right with her, you know, thinking she's going to fall doing this. She didn't fall. She sat down, scarfed down that food, and was hungry for some more. Man, that's awesome. And then I saw her a few months later, which was just a few weeks ago, actually, now. And that lady, she got up there. She'd come over there. She fell down on the ground. She grabbed my feet. She starts weeping and crying. She's kissing my feet. I told her, Lord Jesus, in my dirty boots, don't kiss him, thank you. And I reached down and picked her up and tell her, just like Peter. Do y'all remember in the Bible when the man came and started worshiping Peter? What did Peter tell the man? I am a man as you are. The glory belongs to God. So I figure that's probably the right thing to do. I'll pick her up and tell her, I am a man as you are, and the glory belongs to God. Hallelujah. You ought to see her healed. She likes it. She likes being healed. And it's awesome. The Holy Ghost is worthy of our honor and appreciation. Hallelujah. Because look here. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I'm not making it very far into these passages here. Now, goodness gracious. John 14 and verse 13. And I will do, this is Jesus talking, I myself will grant whatever you ask in my name as presenting all that I am, so that the Father may be glorified and extolled in through the Son. There's people sitting here, you're sold up at me already. Because you don't even believe the Bible right there. You're mad at me because I believe it. Well, I got news for you, religious demons. I challenge your devil. I'm not afraid of it. Sell up. Blow up. Do what you have to. Son, I'm going to roll up in the river. I'm going to let this river flow through me. Let her go, buddy. Because the Holy Ghost don't lie. Spirits of the religion lie. But the Holy Ghost don't. And I am so happy He set me free and touched me. Can you believe He touched me? Man, that's awesome.
Glory.
That's a blessing. I really do like it. That's a blessing. See, I'm going to have to ask you a question. You permit me to ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
I'm not sure you're going to like it. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give me a little backup on it. We'll go to the Bible. And I'll let your own Bible that you have in your own hand ask you the question. Is it okay? That's fair enough. That should be fair enough. Let's go to Acts. The book of the Acts of the Apostles. Oh, this is going to be something. I am after them religious devils tonight. Acts chapter 26. Because there's a question here. You know, I was getting ridiculed in the United States and fussed at because of these miracles. Because people weren't seeing them as frequently as we're seeing them. So when I come up there, and boy, I'm energized, and I'm talking about miracles, and I'm happy, and I'm excited about Jesus, and people sit there looking at me, yeah, praise God, brother. And they don't, you got to understand, Jesus raised the dead. Yeah, praise God, brother. What? Praise God, brother. The dead raised man, for heaven's sake. The blinded eyes are seeing. The lame are walking. Cancer's healed. It's time to rejoice. It's time to let the Holy Ghost in us touch that old frigid, wore out religious demon you got. Let the Holy Ghost slam you. Because He wants to. He wants to touch you. It's the desire of God to touch us. And we have to, if the preacher don't call out me by name, I'll let another one pass by. Hallelujah, brother. Well, you can tell I don't have much. I just don't like that. Well, that's what hung Jesus on the tree, was religious spirits. He had to die, I know that. But it was still the religious world of his day that put him there. Look at this. Because see, now we got another guy. You know, I doubt if you would argue with me all day long. But I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to look right at this book right here. This man here, his name is Paul. Paul the Apostle. He's a man that went in the whole known world of his day and preached the gospel. He saw every miracle known to humans. He saw things happen that never has been even written down. It's an awesome thing what happened to Brother Paul. And God told him, you got to be bound, you got to be brought before kings and governors and rulers for my sake and the gospel. That's what the Holy Ghost told him. You know that, don't you? Y'all know that? Now look at this. Acts 26 and verse 7. Under which promise our 12 tribes, here he is talking to King Agrippa, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Do you understand that Paul was standing there in front of his king, accused of the Jews because of the name of Jesus? Paul was one of their greater young men. They were grooming him to bring him up to be one of the synagogue leaders. He was one of the most famous, educated men in the world in his day. And I want you to look at what he says to King Agrippa in verse 8. The Bible says, why should, this is Paul talking, an educated man, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Why, church, do you think it's so incredible that God can heal cancer? Why do you think it? You know why? Because you won't take the time to love God enough to get Him to pour into you His Holy Ghost where you can do it. So you're going to raise your eyebrow at somebody that does it. Well, I refute that. I stand against you, and I'm not budging, bud. The problem is, you done taught me too many languages. You done let me learn too much stuff. You done let me go through the world in too many countries. We done seen this thing work in 5 countries now. Do you understand how many countries that is? That you preach the same gospel, and it gets the dead up. That's a lot of countries. I like that. I like the name of Jesus. How can that be? Well, that's the same question that the religious world was asking Paul when Paul was around preaching the gospel. And Paul, it's just, to me, I don't understand how you can serve God and not know that He can raise the dead. I just don't get it. You sit there and you tell me, I believe in Jesus. I believe that He is the Son of God. Did you know that your very confession of your mouth is saying that you believe God raised Jesus from the dead? And then when somebody comes around talking about it, you're going to get mad at them? I don't get it. I don't get it, church. We should be ecstatic. We should be jumping and shouting. We should be the very ones who were the first ones at the altar repenting and crying out to God and getting Him to pour out His Holy Ghost. And yet, we're the ones that stand back and go, praise the Lord, brother. I don't get it yet. I've been not getting it for 20-something years now. About 23 of them. Because people have told me every year, every time I come back from Mexico, and up in our country, you have these people that look at me, oh, that's a blessing, Brother Hogan, you know, but you're going to cool off one of these days. Let me say it to you like this. Let me just really ruffle your feathers. Hell will freeze over before I cool off. In the name of Jesus. And that's not going to happen. The Holy Ghost has got to keep us alive. You say, oh, I wouldn't dare make that statement out of my mouth. You're just asking for it. Well, pray it on. Let's see what you got. Because I know what my God's got.
Yeah.
He's got the victory.
Yeah.
He's got the power.
Yeah.
We'll sing and dance and shout. But when it comes right down to it, do we really believe it? I do. And I may not even wake up in the morning, but you'll know I was shouting when He got me. You can do whatever you want to, but my family knows. They know I'm telling the truth. As long as I serve God and my family, I'm a happy boy. And I like this gospel. It's fun to me. What if you had been that lady not even noticed behind the log? What if you would have been that lady brought there on a stretcher and walked home? Huh? What if you had been Brother Alan Will, 70% of your heart broke, and God gives you a young heart and fixes it? What if you were Brother Jim sitting right there again tonight with a messed up back? And the Holy Ghost just comes and straightens that thing out and takes the pain away. What if that would have been you? You'd have been a little different than you are right now. Holy Ghost. I just don't get why it should be thought an incredible thing that God can raise the dead. I just don't understand it. I'll tell you, to me, it's a natural thing for the powers of God to bring life in creation. It's taught all the way through the Bible from the very beginning that God did it, and it never said He quit doing it. So I proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Lupus, cataracts, cancers, they are not Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. And to me, it's an awesome thing that He does raise the dead. It's not an incredible thing that He can. Do you hear any difference at all? Oh, dudes, I've got to tell you. You don't get mad at me if I call you dudes, huh? I heard that one time. I thought it was kind of catchy, so I said it. Well, let's see which one of these miracles was I'm looking for. Hang on just a minute. Yes, there it is. Oh, there's two, three of them here. That's right. Okay, let's see how we're going to do this. I'll tell you what we're going to do. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. I'm telling you, this gospel is awesome. What is there more important than watching God heal people? What is there more important than watching God save souls? What is there more important than me coming back 2 years later and seeing you still serving Jesus? There's nothing more important than that. What is there more important than you coming and I'm still preaching the same thing? How about that now? Only thing's changed is the names of the people, because the power is the same. I like that. This gospel is awesome. It's so much fun. It is. Man, there's all kinds of demons that oppose you and fight you and mess with you. But the gospel is real, and it's awesome, and it's fun to me. Matthew 18. And where was we going? Oh, yes, that's where we're going. 18:18. The Bible says, all right, first of all, how many of you here, look, be honest, you really love Jesus? Put your hand up. Would you look? This is awesome. It's something you didn't raise your hand. Okay. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Now, you see how many people's in here? What is it, 300 people in here probably? Maybe? Okay. Listen, do you see how many people around you raise their hand if they really love Jesus? You see that, right? Okay. Let me read something to you here. All that's necessary is 2 or 3. And you can have the glory of God. Well, we got a bunch. I mean a bunch in here. A bunch is more than 2. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Say this with me. I bind. Sickness and disease.
Sickness and disease.
I bind the devil.
I bind the devil.
I bind demons.
I bind demons.
And I loose the power of the gospel.
I loose the power of the gospel.
Now you see how many people's talking? Do you realize all the glory of God? If we could just get a couple of people that really meant it to say it, the glory of heaven would come in this place. I'm telling you. The truth. Go. You see what happened. A number of years ago, I went to this village and I met this man. He was a black magic warlock. He could change himself. His powers were unequal. He could change himself into any form he chose. It doesn't matter. You name it. He can change it into himself, his body, into it. All right? The only thing he couldn't do was kill me and raise the dead. And that bothered him. He came to me as a warlock. And he sat down with me. He says to me, what is it that you have that I can't penetrate to kill you? I said, what'd you say? You want to kill me? Well, I'll bind that right away. See? What comes out of my mouth immediately? I bind you, devil. You're a devil. That comes out of me. It's not off the cuff. It's not a statement that's just a flippant thing that rolls out of my mouth. I'll bind you. You're a devil. I'll refute you. I don't agree with that. That's not something that just comes out of my mouth. It's just to fill space. It is the Holy Ghost. It is the truth. It is the gospel. And the devil does not have the right to mess with me. Now, there's all sorts of things gets in there and hits me, my family. I mean, there's all sorts of battles. But I'm going to tell you one thing. We win.
Amen.
We win.
Yes.
And this guy, he come there. And those guys would ring the church. While we're having service. I mean, literally, a ring of that many warlocks. And they would chant and curse and rebuke us. And we're sitting there worshiping Jesus, hallelujah, and praising God. And I have this thing. I just tell you, I refute the devil. I bind him. I curse witchcraft. And I refute you, devil. do not fear you one bit. I fear the Father God. And he's my friend. And you lose witchcraft in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. By the blood of Jesus. And so anyway, this guy, I got serious on you. Because you know why? Because I can feel it messing with me right now. It's a devil. And I refute it by the blood of Jesus. How you like that? Why don't we run home and hide under the bed? Because where are you going to hide from the spirit? You come out there and get on that couple of wee under that bed. Scary out and all that. Where are you going to run to next? Quit running. Stand your ground. Say it like this. Hasta aquí no más. This is as far as we're going. And we're going to stand it off right now, and the Holy Ghost is going to take you out. So anyway, this guy, he says to me, he says, what is it that y'all have that does not allow? Because we have the ability to take any human out. I said, you know why you can't get me? Because I have the love of God and the gospel of heavens in me. It's in my bones. It's in my spirit. It's in my blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ protects me. And the word of God refutes you and rebukes you. And I'll tell you this right now. Everything you put on me comes back on you double till you repent. And he said, that's exactly what's been happening. Everything we've been speaking on y'all has been coming back on us. And we want to know how to get rid of it. I said, there ain't but one way. That's join us. That's right. And you have to negate everything you've done with the devil and come let the blood of Jesus cleanse you and make you whole. The man said, I will. What do I have to do?
Praise God.
How about that? Huh? I like that. All the witches or something else, but when they get saved, I like messing with them guys. I have myself a blast with them because they know spiritual warfare. They make some of the greatest intercessors. They're awesome people because they have the discipline to do what I need them to do. They know the enemy used to be their friend, they thought. It was a trap, of course, we know that. But once they're enlightened, and once they are freed, they have an awesome energy about them to seek God. And I like that. I like being around them because they could get into heaven instantly almost. It's just amazing. This guy, his name is Juan Jose Marcos. What is that? Joseph Mark in English. Jose Marcos is easier to say. Brother Jose Marcos was walking to church one day. And there met him a man from a distant village. You must come. You must come now. He runs with the guy. Jose Marcos, you know who he is now? This is, of course, years and years later. It took us about 15 years to get into this position. Well, about 16 years, I guess. He is now one of our directors of the ministry. Before, he was a black magic warlock. And now, he's one of our elders. I like it. This gospel is so much fun. I like it because you can tear the devil's kingdom up and build God's with his burial. Isn't that awesome? I like that a lot. Thank you, Jesus. That's fun. And so he's walking. He says, okay. So listen to this. He's walking down the trail going to preach, and somebody interrupts his day. Come with me. He hikes 2 hours out of his way. Did you hear what I just said to you? But you see, you are so programmed, and your life is so orchestrated. If I was to tell Pastor, and I did tell him this, get you a crew together and start witnessing a particular way, I did do that, did I not? And one of the things he said, but the people are so busy. Let me tell you something about busy.
Huh?
What if the person that cared enough to tell you the gospel had been too busy? And what if you would have went to hell eternally? That puts things a little differently, doesn't it? You can give 3 or 4 hours a week. You can do that. But I don't know how. That's all right. We'll teach you how. That's not a problem. All you got to do is say, I rebuke the devil. That's easy as it is. How much easier you want it? And so Brother Jose Michaels went 2 hours out of his way, one way. That's 2 hours over there and 2 hours back. But when he got there, he found there was a family in dire need. The grandpa, the man was 70 years old. He was dying. And Brother Jose Marcos looked at him right in the face and said, "You can die, but you must be born again first." He said, "There's no doubt we're all going to die one day." He said, "But you must be born again." And that old man said, "What is born again?" "Never heard it in his life." He said, "I'll show you." He said, "Aren't you blind?" He said, "Yes. Yes, I'm blind." He said, "Well, let me show you what the gospel is. Be healed." And the Holy Ghost hit that man, opened both of his eyes, and healed him of the disease. And he jumps out of the bed, healed. And Jose Marcos says, "That is the gospel." The man knelt down and got born again. Who wouldn't? The gospel. It's a fun gospel. I like it. And I can hear some of you thinking, "Well, if I went witnessing and that happened, well, how are you going to know it's not going to happen till you go witness it?" The problem is you have more faith for it not to happen than you do for it to happen. I've got to get you to where you change your mind, you change your thinking, where your understanding is Jesus is Lord, not the fear of man, not disease, not anything else. Jesus is King and Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is King and Lord. Jesus is King and Lord. Hallelujah. And my Bible says, and I'm going to read it to you, "And I will do, I myself will grant whatever you ask me in my name." Wow. See, the thing is now, people say to me, "Brother Hogan, you seem to have so much power. Boy, I bet you could get a lot of money." You're right. Do you know how I can use the faith I've got in God to be a millionaire? Did you know that? Do y'all know that? Do you know I don't pray for money, but it overtakes me? I pray for souls to be saved, and I pray for the sick. Yes, yes. And because I obey God, the Bible says in Psalms 67. Oh, you'd like to read it? I'm glad you asked. Go to Psalm 67. Oh, I'm so glad y'all asked me to read this. It's so much better when you see it out of your own Bible. Did you know that? Look at verse 5 of Psalm 67. The Bible says, "Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you." See, that's the problem we have here. People don't want to praise Jesus. People want to sit there and have a little reverential nothing and do nothing. It doesn't have to do with how quiet or how loud you are. It has to do with how you're speaking with your heart. Did you hear me? God's listening to a man's heart. The spirit of a man is what talks, not the outward emotions or non-emotions. It's the spirit of the man that God's looking for. I want you to look at something. Look at verse 6. The Bible says, "Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us." Did you know, because I worship Jesus, and because I'm so bold to proclaim, that I'll attack any religious devil, especially when I get around one, I'm aggressive. Because religion and witchcraft are the same. They are rebellion to the house of God. And so I get aggressive with it. And I like to be aggressive. I like to challenge it. Because you see, by proclaiming the praises of God, the earth yields increase to me, Brother John. And so, I'm sitting there, you know, and I'm hearing this story, and I'm just, oh man, I wish the whole family... Well, she got sick. That's not a good testimony. You get saved, and then you get sick. That's not a good testimony for the gospel. But it happens regular. It happens regular. And so that the glory of God can be revealed. Well, what happened was, the sickness killed her. She hadn't been saved very long, and the sickness killed her. Well, the pastor was going to church there. It's a place called San Pedro Coyotla. It's one of our large, we have several large churches. This is one of them. And he was there,
And he was going there to preach when some people met him on the highway. And this happens, the trail. To us, it's a highway through the mountains. To you, it's nothing but an old walking trail. That ain't what y'all call it. Y'all call it footpaths. Is that right? Paths. Did I say it right? Paths? Is that close enough? To me, it's a path. But to y'all, it's a path. And that's okay. That's all right. That doesn't make a difference. It's just cute, isn't it? Path, path. Sounds like two different words, but it means the same thing. Okay. So he was walking down that path. And here comes an Indian to him and says, "Hey, we got trouble. You need to come right now. This lady's died." So he goes there. Listen, I teach and train our people, pastors, everybody, deacons, elders, people just that work the fields that don't have any job in the church. Hey, you have the authority to raise the dead in Jesus' name. And so this guy's walking in there. He goes in there. And I mean, look, this lady had been dead for hours now. I mean, this just happened a couple of months ago because I've been over here for a month and a half now. But it was about 2 months ago. This lady, she died. And so, listen now, she's been dead for hours and hours. When he gets there, the whole family from, because what happens is they send runners to all these family members in these other villages around. So they all come migrating, come back to where the death is. And they have, I mean, there was hundreds of people there because it's such a large family, and she was well known even though she wasn't the boss. All right, well, they got her what they call tendida. She was washed for burial and laid in the grave clothes and all that. And the casket had been built and was laying there in front of her. To where, after all the family members come through and the town pays their respect to the family, you just take the body, put it in the casket, nail it, go bury it. That's simple as it gets. It never goes off. The body stays inside the family the whole time. Okay. And so, Brother Jose gets there and he walks in. And all the family's there now. Okay? I'm talking about the unsaved, warlocks. I mean, everybody's there. He walks right up in the middle of them. Now, this is boldness. He lays hands on her in Jesus' name. Nothing happened. So he turned to the people, as the ladies behind him here, turns to them, and I mean, he preaches the gospel to them. Because another thing I taught them is if they grant you permission to pray for their dead person, they will listen to you if you touch that dead person because they are superstitious for it. And so they granted permission. He prayed. She didn't get up. He turns around, preaches the gospel to them. Well, he says, "Y'all, excuse me." He went to church. They're still having the wake. Okay? And so, because it's late at night, right at night, I guess. And he went and had church. And so he told the elders in the church, "Let's all go back over there and let's see what we can do to help this family. Let's help them out." Now we're talking 19 hours the lady's been dead. 19 hours. He walks back in there and walks up there. And now everybody's, the place is just buzzing. This is real late at night now. This is almost midnight. Church is over and all that. He walks up in there and they, as soon as he walks in, Oh man, they were just treating him like some kind of some great rich man or something. And they brought him in there and set him down at this table and brought him this big old plate of tamales. Do y'all know what tamales are? Tamales are food. You take corn and grind it up. You boil it and then grind it up. And then they pack it with some kind of, they put hot peppers in there. They put all kinds of stuff. We call them surprise packages. Because it's always a surprise once you get inside it. So he put all these surprise bags of tamales in front of him, and he's just amazed that they're feeding him. Why? Why are they feeding him, you see? Well, it was short-lived, his wonder, because the lady that was dead walked in, raised from the dead, and sat down and ate supper with him. Yes! Yes! What a God! What an awesome God. And guess what? Guess what? The family members got born again.
Praise God.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Yeah. All right, Jesus. You see, it only takes a couple of you in agreement. And it don't matter how much unbelief and doubt is there if you're in agreement in Jesus' name. Did you hear me? Because there's another thing y'all teach that I disagree with. And this is theological. And you can keep your thought. It ain't going to hurt my feelings one bit. But I've got some news for you. It don't matter how many devils is there and how much unbelief is there. If the Holy Ghost's coming, they'll move for Him. They don't have the power to stop the name of Jesus. Did you hear me? Well, I don't agree with that. Well, you do what you have to do with it. The name of Jesus will set you free. Hallelujah. Now, I want to do one more thing with you, and we're quitting. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I wish I could give you an equation and a list of things and say, okay, you go do this, it'll work every time. But the problem is your heart. It's your mental state sometimes, and it's how people affect you sometimes. We got to be affected by the Holy Ghost. We got to be infected by the name of Jesus. So we have to be turned on to the gospel and to the powers of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Now, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. I want you to do this. I want you to do exactly what this thing says. It says, let the peace of God. I want you to just ever how you know how, right now, just say, Jesus, I want the peace of God in my heart. Just go ahead, ever how you know how. Just go ahead. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Just let it come in. Let the peace of God come in. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. To the which also you may be called into one body. Do you hear that? There's that unity again. There's that agreement again. If we will let, it doesn't matter if you completely agree with the way I preach, the way I present myself. You may not even agree with anything I'm saying, but it doesn't matter if we can come into agreement in peace with God and let God move through us to help other people. You hear that? I'm serious. That's why I'm so strict about it. That's how come I believe. I mean, my family, I want them praying with me because I know they believe Jesus can do it.
Amen.
And that's why they're up here whenever we have prayer lines and they're praying with me. That's why I like the pastor, because I'm almost always in agreement where I preach. You either like me or you don't like me. And I'm glad it's that way. I really am. I really am. I'm glad you're not in doubt. I'm glad you believe something. Well, it doesn't matter if you like me or not. It matters that you like Jesus. Holy Ghost. The Bible says, be thankful. Now, I want to be thankful. Lord Jesus, y'all just didn't agree with me. We're going to let the peace of God rule our hearts so that we can become one body, and now we're going to be thankful, huh? Let's just thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We appreciate you. We appreciate your word. You are holy. You are righteous, God, and we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's do the next verse. Verse 16. Let the word of God dwell in you in all wisdom. All right. See, by you coming here, some of you are here out of curiosity. Some of you are here to try to figure out ways to refute this. That's fine with me. As long as you preach the gospel, I don't care if you're fussing at me or cussing at me, as long as you are preaching the gospel. Did you hear what I just said to you? Because it's important for the word of God to dwell in you. In wisdom, in teaching, and admonishing, and singing to each other. You see how, what's the name of that lady that was singing a while ago?
Annette.
Yeah, Annette. Yeah, that's right. This Annette. The other lady that was leading at the beginning.
Julie.
That's right. She was absolutely into it. She was carried away with it. So was, do you see how they are? I like it when people are into it. They mean what they're saying. They didn't even know y'all was really here. They was nervous at first, but boy, once they got started, did you see them go in? Did you see it get a hold of them? See, that's the kind of stuff I like. I like to be around people who really know Jesus and can let Him be expressed through them. It may not be through preaching. It may be through singing. It may be through a psalms. It may be through a teaching. But the thing is, the name of Jesus is exalted.
Yeah.
Are you understanding how, where I'm coming with this here? See, the Bible says right here, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Did you see Annette a while ago? I'm telling you, Jesus touched her. Did y'all tell when she was singing that she had been touched by Jesus? Oh, I could. That was awesome. I was just laughing. I wasn't laughing at her singing, because I remember her from last time. And I remember her from now. I'm telling you, it's awesome to see it for me. It's a blessing. I'm telling you, she was singing. So was Julie. I don't know Julie, but I know this. She was singing it from her heart. And I like that. You don't have to know people to know if they're singing from their heart or not. I'm telling you that right now. Look at verse 17. It says, whatever you do. Now, here we are. I've come here in the name of Jesus. I'm doing my best to lift up the name of Jesus to you. I'm going to tell you right now, I won't do anything. I can't. Because the Bible says, whatever you do, whether it's in word or deed, do all of it. Look at this. Do all of it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I'll tell you right now, if you can't give thanks to the Father God in Jesus' name in whatever you're doing, you should stop doing it. You should never, ever let it happen again in your lifetime, in your life. You should come. I don't care what it costs you. If you can't give glory to God in it, let it go. God will bring true freedom and happiness and peace in your home, in your house, and you will be healed by the blood of Jesus. Did you hear me, church? Did you hear me, church? If you don't mind, stand up now and let's pray. Because I got to tell you, while you're doing that, you're putting all your little fancy Bibles up in little cases and stuff. I got to tell you, there was a man that had been in the chair crippled for 10 years. Y'all know how long that is? That's too long to be crippled in the chair. That's a long time. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you, you need Jesus to touch you if you've been crippled in a chair for 10 years. I want you to know, man, my heart goes out. Compassion flies out of me into people when I see them. Oh, man, I'll tell you. And this man in Labada, this man was crippled for 10 years. And I want you to know, you know what it took? Do you want to know what it took? You see this hand right here up in the air? Watch this. This is what it takes right here. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. That's what it took. Oh, you're the one who's healing. In Jesus' name, be healed. That's all it takes. After 10 years, you just touch him on the... It's easy. Look, in Jesus' name, be healed. That's all you got to do is touch him. In Jesus' name, be healed. You understand that? And after 10 years, the man gets up and walks. After 10 years. Wow. What a God. Man, it's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome, church. Jesus loves us. And He wants to heal us. And He wants to touch us. And some of us are going to get touched and healed tonight. I'll tell you that right now. In the name of Jesus. Now, I have to look for something first. I have to look out here in this crowd. And I have to see if there's anybody that does not know Jesus is Lord. I have to see it. Is there anybody that has never confessed Jesus is Lord? If there is, I want to invite you to come up here. Would you please come up here in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name. Would you come up here? If you don't know Jesus is Lord, church, look around you and see if there's somebody around you. Go ahead, look around you. Don't stand there like statues. Come on, man. They need Jesus. There could be somebody there that needs help. There could be somebody that needs you. Would you talk to them? And would you bring them up here, please? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Is there someone that would like to accept this powerful God as Lord and Savior? If there is, I want to give you an opportunity to come up here and accept Jesus. Would you please come? In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Holy Ghost. Get him up here, church. Talk him into it, church. Say, hey, man,
You must be born again. Would you please come in the name of Jesus Christ? Holy Ghost, would you please come? Would you bring them up here? They need to be born again. I'm telling you, they need Jesus. People say to me, you preach too hard for people to be saved. You're wrong. You're wrong. I don't preach hard enough. I'm constantly looking for new phrases and new ways to be more serious in the name of Jesus. Well, Brother Hogan, I don't like it. You're too hard. Well, I'm sorry. The devil hates me. I have to attack him. And I need to know if there's anybody that needs Jesus. I want to give you another minute in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, blessed be the name of the Lord.